Dragnet.
The Jack Benny Program.
I'm that man. Matt Dillon, United States Marshal.
George Burns and Gracie Allen.
Good evening, friends of the Inner Sanctum.
We offer you Escape.
Our Miss Brooks. Suspense.
Richard Diamond, Private Detective.
Fibber McGee and Molly.
The Great Gildersleeve.
Yeah. Radio Theater.
In the air.
Dedicated to man's imagination, the theater of the mind.
You know what our call letters WGN stand for, don't you?
WGN Radio Theater.
The special three-hour presentation
with Pearl Amari and Lisa Wolf.
All right, welcome to the WGN Radio Theater. It is 11:08 on a Sunday night. It is July 22nd, and this is program 303 in the series. To my right, the vivacious Lisa Wolf. What's up, Lisa?
Hey, Carl.
And we have Mike Costello in the studio, our executive producer and digital engineer. What's up, Mike?
Hey, how's it going? I'm well.
All right. Well, Mike digitally remastered these shows we're going to play tonight. So they're going to be amazing sound quality. We have the Cisco Kid. And, Mike, did you recognize Mel Blanc as Pancho on this show?
Oh, you know, I don't remember when I was editing. If
he plays,
you know what? We give him so much work to do.
It's hard to keep it straight. Poor guy. He doesn't.
I couldn't even tell you what shows we were playing tonight.
He made it here though to 303 East Wacker.
Right.
I did.
Well, we have the Cisco Kid to start things off from 1958, and this was a time when radio was already on its way out. And television had more than adequately taken over the way people were entertained, but still radio hung on till the maybe early 60s, and the Cisco Kid was still on the air in 1958. We'll have that for you then. It's Let George Do It, a good detective adventure from 1950, and it's all brought to you by Cat's Pride, and we're going to play our game, Crack the Quote. You ready, Lisa?
Yes, I'm ready for Crack the Quote.
Crack the Quote. I'm going to...
Just practice
yeah,
it.
Yeah, you're going to
get it. Alice.
Yeah. All right, so what is the movie?
The movie is There Will Be Blood.
Oh, that's a great movie.
All right,
yeah.
You got this one, Carl?
Yes,
okay,
I do.
Okay, great. Roger, you with us?
Oh, sure.
I'm just making sure you're up there.
All right, the number to call, 312-981-7200. 312-981-7200. What caller?
Caller number eight.
Number eight.
And we're going to be giving away two tickets to see Avenue Q, which is playing right now at Mercury Theater Chicago.
All right, call us now. We'll play the game on the...
It's time now for Crack the Quote.
I'm going broke.
Brought to you by
broke with
Cat's
this
Pride
thing with Roger and Tim.
Roger, you're really check. Squeezing us dry here.
Yeah, I
am. Boy, oh boy.
Last check I got, it said you owe me.
Like, we are allowing you to speak on our show. You pay us for that. All right, we've got James on the phone. Hey, James.
Hey, how are you?
Great, how are you?
Good.
Good, you ready to play the game?
I am.
All right, here we go. We'll get right into it.
Oops, got to lower your radio, James.
It's all the way up. I'm in another room.
Okay. Okay. All right, so all right.
We hear a little echo there.
Yeah, what is
yeah, this,
that?
It happened.
I don't know if it's a storm in the area or stuff.
All right.
No, we've had it happen before in that room, so
I'm pretty sure it's something that Roger's doing. So
of course.
We'll go with that. Okay. Quote number one, I broke you and I beat you. Quote number two, you cannot destroy me. Quote number three, broken people break people.
Hmm. What do you think?
I think it's the first one.
I broke you and I beat you. All right. Roger, you like that one?
I'll go with the number three.
Number three is broken people break people. Carl, what do you like?
I'll go with two.
Two is you cannot destroy me.
Yeah.
All right, well, somebody is right. I'm going to give you that. All right, let's hear it.
I broke you and I beat you.
There you go. James knows what he's doing. You got it right.
So you, way
sorry,
to go,
Roger.
James.
And I'm so sorry, Carl, but James knows what he's doing. James, you are a winner and you have won two tickets to Avenue Q. It's the puppet-filled comedy musical. It follows a group of 20-somethings. It's making their way in the big city. It's playing right now at Mercury Theater Chicago. You can check it out at mercurytheaterchicago.com. Thanks so much for playing. You did great.
All right, take care.
Take care.
All righty. So we're going to text. Have people text in, right, Lisa?
Yes, I've got the text in line. I'm reading it. I'm reading everything you text in. 312-981-7200. We'd love to hear from you.
All right. That is our text in line. It's time now, though, for the Cisco Kid. Of course, we remember this show from television, but it started on radio. It was a Western created by O. Henry. The Cisco Kid was seen in films, TV, comic books, and in 1942, it was first heard on radio. Now, Jackson Beck was radio's first Cisco, and Louis Sorin was Pancho. Later, Jack Mather and Harry Lang played the roles, although for a short period of time, Harry Lang was not Pancho. You know who was Pancho? Mel Blanc. And we have one of those episodes. The Cisco Kid was a heroic Mexican caballero. Is that how you say
caballero.
It? Caballero. Caballero.
Caballero?
Ca.
Caballero.
Caballero. Caballero. Yeah. I need to brush up on my...
On your what?
On my Spanish.
Yeah, that would be
who
helpful.
Who fought for law and order in the
and
Old
your
West.
English.
It was an immensely popular show, like you are. You're immensely popular,
Lisa. I'm a show, all right.
And it lasted on radio until the late 1950s, nearly 600 episodes. Of course, the TV show starred Duncan Ronaldo and Louis Carrillo. Remember those two guys on TV? I do. 1950 through 1956 TV show. But we have a radio episode for you now from August 28th, 1958. This is called The Sheriff's 44s. This stars Jack Mather and Mel Blanc. Here's part one of The Cisco Kid.
Here's adventure. Here's romance. Here's the famous Robin Hood of the Old West.
Cisco, the sheriff, he is getting closer.
This way, Pancho, vamos!
The Cisco Kid. Now, the Cisco Kid in our exciting story, The Sheriff's 44s. It took the northern Wyoming country up around Buffalo to raise a fighting man like Sheriff Bill Logan. Tall, broad of shoulder, grim of face, and lightning fast with his 44s, Sheriff Logan had only one weakness. Overindulgence of his worthless stepson, Bud Norris, who a year previously had run away with $1,000 of the bank's money. The sheriff made good the loss, but the blow aged him beyond his 60 years. And thereafter, he left much of the department's work to his shifty-eyed deputy, Jack Quillen. As our story opens, two men are riding into Buffalo's main street. It is just after dark.
I sure hope it's a good idea for us to hit this bank, Bud.
Why ain't it? Told you I know the bank's set up. I used to work there, and I still got my key to the back door.
What if we should meet up with Sheriff Logan?
Look, Manson, little Logan would never turn his guns loose on me, savvy? He'd turn on himself first, I know.
Even after you skipped with that money, huh?
Yeah, even after that. You can tell. My mother died when I was 7 years old, and Bill Logan, the old fool, tried to take her place. I don't recall he ever refused me a thing.
How about the deputy?
Jack Quillen? Yeah, he's got a yellow streak a yard wide. Politics got him in as deputy. He's the son of the richest cattleman around here. By thunder, there he comes out of the cafe.
Hey, you two, wait a minute.
Whoa.
Oh, hold on.
All right, you do the talking, Manson. I'll put my hat down over my face. Right.
Strangers here, huh?
That's right.
You, hombre, pull that hat up so I can get a look at you.
You're asking for trouble, mister. If that's what you want, say so.
No, no, I don't want no trouble. Just like to know who strangers are.
We're riding right on through your town, so don't worry about us. Come on, get up.
Get up. We'll make a circle and come back behind the bank after we clean out the money there. Oh, blast it all. I don't know the combination.
Combination of what, Bud?
The sheriff's safe over in his office. Keeps all his money in it. I'd like to get that, too. There's a good chunk of it.
We better let well enough alone.
Well, we'll see after we hit the bank. Get up there.
Get up. Yeah.
What
What in thunder did I do with that? Had your supper, deputy?
Yeah, some time ago. Better go eat, Sheriff.
Yeah, well, later on. You seen my key ring?
Well, last I saw it was right on your desk. There it is. It was under them papers.
Yeah. I can't seem to remember things as well as I used to. Want to put some papers in the safe. Combination of the safe is cut into the inside of this key ring.
Sheriff, I better tell you about a couple of hombres that rode through town about an hour ago. One of them kind of reminded me of Bud, the way he was built. Didn't see his face, though.
Don't mention Bud again, deputy. I don't want to hear his name.
Well, I thought I'd better tell you about them hombres, because the... Hey, Sheriff, come over here to the window, will you? Looks to be like a light in the bank. Ain't that a light?
I reckon it is. Might be Mr. Parker waiting late. We'd better go and make sure. Hand me my .44s, deputy. Come on. Hey, somebody's out front of the bank. You just make him out in the shadows. Must be a lookout. Draw your guns, deputy.
Well, now, we better not be hasty, Sheriff. They got guns, too.
Now, what of it?
I'll stay back here in case they come this way.
Hey, Benson, they spotted us. Get out of there!
Great Scott, it's Bud.
I'll give the buzzard something to think about. Come on now, we got a ride for it.
Bud boy.
Get up there!
Hey! There they go, Sheriff! Come on, gun them down! Gun them down! What's the matter? You stood there and let them get away. There was a couple of bank robbers got away, folks. The sheriff just stopped right here and watched them go. You better explain that, Sheriff.
I got nothing to say. Nothing.
And I reckon it's up to me. With the backing of these townspeople, Sheriff, I'm putting you under arrest for dereliction of duty. And as of right now, I'm appointing myself acting sheriff.
Hey, Pancho. Pancho, wake up, wake up.
Si, Cisco, Pancho, wake.
All right, come on, get up. Two riders are coming here to our camp.
Si, Cisco. Oh, poor Pancho, never get enough sleep. Oh, who these hombres, Cisco?
I never saw them before, Chico. Buenos dias, senores. Mi compañero and I will be honored to have you join us at breakfast.
Yeah, that's just what we're here for, mister.
Yeah, we can't wait long, Bud.
No. So hurry up and fix that breakfast, mister.
Hurry up and fix your breakfast? He's not very polite, no?
I do not like the way you talk, senor.
I want some grub and I want it quick.
You will get it quick, hombre, but I do not mean the food.
Look out, Bud.
Oh. Your shot missed me, hombre. But I have to swim in the creek.
What are you...
Let's cool you down.
Not to start nothing, hombre.
Hey, put me down.
I intend to out in that water.
Hey, no!
He the biggest fish in that pool, Cisco. Yeah.
Next time you come into anyone's camp, maybe you will have better manners. Now get on your horses and get out of here.
Come on, Bud, let's go.
I don't know who you are, mister. If we ever meet up again... You better start hunting cover.
Look out there in the flats, Red. Come on, get up.
Yeah.
Oh, not very often we start the day like this, Cisco.
Here comes some more callers, amigo.
Oh, look like the sheriff in the posse. Oh, maybe they want breakfast too, huh?
That cannot be Sheriff Bill Logan, Cisco. I was told Sheriff Logan is a much older man.
Did that shot we heard come from this camp?
See, Senor Sheriff?
Well, who fired it?
Well, we had two callers. All I know about them is that one was named Bud.
Wow. See, you look off there, senores, and you see the dust from their horses' hooves.
Jake, you and Harry and Ned go after them.
Now, who are you two hombres? I am called the Cisco Kid.
And Pancho is called Pancho.
We are on our way to the town of Buffalo to see Sheriff Logan.
Sheriff Logan, huh?
Has he retired from active duty?
Yeah, he sure has.
Well, what do you mean by that, Sheriff?
I mean Bill Logan's right where you hombres are going to be in another half hour. I'm taking you in on suspicion of helping two bank robbers escape.
Let's stop at the top of the next rise and look back, bud.
What for?
I want to know how close that posse is. Now, take a look.
What do you see?
Three of the posse down there riding this way. Ain't coming very fast, though. Must have lost their tracks.
We can shake them easy.
Hey, I can see... Well, back to that camp from here, bud. Looks to me as if the rest of the posse's arrested them, too.
Arrest them? For what?
How would I know? But the posse's riding herd on them, heading back toward town.
Then that's where we're going, Manson.
Too risky.
Shut up. I'll say what we do. We'll double back to town, round them three riders, and get the money out of the sheriff's safe.
But, Lord...
That'll teach that old goat to butt into our bank holdup. And after that, I'm gonna kill that Cisco kid.
Fine state of affairs, Pancho. Being locked in this cell cage.
Oh, better not talk too loud, Cisco. The old one in that cell cage, he might tell the sheriff what you say.
Diego looks to be still asleep.
Oh, Pancho, you like to know who he is?
He might be old Sheriff Logan, amigo. The other one said Bill Logan was right where we are going to be.
Oh, si, Cisco, must be so. Ask him if he the Sheriff Logan.
Hey, senor. Senor.
Yeah, what you want?
May I ask if you are Sheriff Bill Logan?
I'm Bill Logan, yes.
Mi compañero and I came here especially to pay our respects to a great sheriff, Senor Logan.
Thanks. Who are you?
I'm the Cisco Kid Sheriff, and this is Pancho.
I know of you, Cisco. Sorry, I can't give you a better welcome.
Think nothing of that, Senor Sheriff.
Well, how you come to be in a jail, Kid Sheriff?
Pancho, do not be inquisitive.
There was an attempted bank robbery last night. Me and my deputy started for the bank. When I heard the voice of the lookout, I'm afraid I can't talk about it, Cisco.
We do not want to pry into your affairs, Sheriff Logan.
Well, Cisco, the other sheriff, he come back now.
Pretend to fight with me, Chico.
Si.
When he comes near the bars, I will grab him. You get his guns. Call me a liar, Pancho.
Si, Cisco, si. Cisco, you are a liar!
You call me a liar and I'll shake your bones loose!
Hey, you two, cut out that fight now.
Anyone who calls me a liar will take the consequences.
I said cut it out now. Hey, let me go!
Quick, Pancho, his guns.
See, here they go, Cisco.
Buena. Open up this cage at once.
Tricked me, huh? Here, easy with that gun. I'll open the cage.
All right, get in here. Now, give me the story on Sheriff Logan. Why is he locked up?
He lost his nerve during a bank robbery last night. When the bandits with his stepson, Bud Norris.
Sheriff Logan lost his nerve? I do not believe that, hombre.
We saw the sheriff free, Cisco, no?
We cannot do that yet, Pancho. We will find those bandidos and talk to Sheriff Logan's stepson and get his story.
Cisco, look out! Behind you!
Drop them guns, Cisco! Drop them!
Si, hombre. Since you seem to have us covered...
So you want to talk to Sheriff Logan's stepson? Well, I'm right here. Now, what do you got to say?
So Cisco and Pancho get out of the cell cage only to face a greater danger. In just a moment, we'll return to the Cisco Kid.
That's actually what we're going to do. We're going to return to the Cisco Kid.
They took your job.
But after...
Back to WGN Radio Theater with Earl Amari and Lisa Wolf.
All right, thanks, Roger. Thank you, Joan. Really appreciate you. And Mr. Know-It-All.
You know, I want to mention something.
Mr. Know-It-All.
Yeah. I guess he doesn't know it all. So, anyway, he doesn't know that song.
he didn't know that song.
He's not Mr. Know-It-All. So
I've been singing that song in my head
since
yesterday.
Me too. Roger, you're going to have to play that. Listen to the words.
In fact, I think I'll just sing it for you all right now.
Go ahead.
I need a little, give me some, cue the music.
I do want to mention something. We've had a bunch of people who texted in who were concerned because we were not on at our regular time last night of 11 p.m., but that was just last night.
Yeah.
That was just because we had the White Sox on that preempted us, but we are back to our regular time, 11 to 2 every Saturday and 11 to 1 every Sunday. You can count on it.
Absolutely.
So I just want you to know.
Thanks, Lisa. All right, it's time now for the conclusion to the Cisco Kid.
Now back to the Cisco Kid and our exciting story, The Sheriff's 44s. Arrested in Buffalo, Wyoming, on a charge of helping bank bandits get away, Cisco and Pancho found in the Buffalo jail the man they had come north to pay their respects to, famous old Sheriff Logan. The charge against the sheriff, they discovered, was loss of nerve and dereliction of duty. Tricking the deputy and getting out of the cell, they learned that one of the holdup men of the night previous was the old sheriff's stepson. Cisco told Pancho they would hunt down the bandits, whereupon a voice from behind ordered our friends to throw up their hands. Now,
keep them hands up, Cisco Kid. You too.
Oh, see, me too, Bandy. But Pancho not like it.
Throw me in a creek, will you? I'll tend to you in just a minute.
That's him, Cisco. That's the stepson this here sneaking deputy of mine was just telling you about.
He seems to like to get into trouble, Sheriff.
Don't worry, I ain't the one in trouble. You, Logan, give me the combination of this here safe of yours.
I'll give you nothing, you whelp.
I've a mind to blast you down.
You better take it easy, bud.
I'll take nothing easy, see? I'm gonna get even for a lot of things right here and now. All right, Quillen, where's that combination? Come on, I'll let you have it.
It's on the inside of the sheriff's key ring, bud. It's right there on the desk.
Oh, yellow-livered coyote Quillen.
Some hombres coming down the street this way, bud. Bunch of them.
Let them come. I'm getting this money.
Watch the other one, Pancho.
Oh, Pancho watching, Cisco.
You are not going to get that money, bandido.
Oh, not your druggy gun, hombre. Pancho kick you in his shins.
Oh. Right, give me that gun, bandido.
That's this stuff, Cisco.
Hey, what's going on here? Hey!
Grab,
boys!
No, not grab, Pancho!
Oh, what?
Yeah, come on, get over here!
Oh, no, not grab,
Pancho!
We'll
get out of here, Pancho. We'll get out of here. Fast as we can. Right to the crowd. There's no other way. Let's go. Now, come on, Pancho. Run for our horses.
Oh, they get the two bandidos, Cisco!
I don't know, Pancho. This is no time to find out. All right, up on your horse quickly, amigo.
Yeah, we get away from those bullets, Cisco!
Fast as we can. Up, get
out! Go.
We'll pretend to leave the town. Then we'll come back.
Oh, what for we come back, Cisco? We gone now.
I am going to get Sheriff Logan out of that jail if it is the last thing I do. Here, Diablo.
Go.
Chase us, Willie. I'll show him.
Come on, bud. You already gunned down two of them.
I had to for us to get out. They was blocking the door after Cisco got away.
If they catch us, we'll swing for it.
Come on. Around behind this old stable.
Oh, I'm scared of that mob. I don't mind saying so.
This is good enough right here. Yeah. Those weeds are high. Lie down, Manson. The weeds will hide us.
Yeah. Hey, they're coming right this way, bud. Must have seen us run behind this stable.
Shut up.
Maybe they ran across the field and into that hedgerow, boys. Come on, have a look.
Don't move, Quillen.
Hey, don't shoot.
Drop the gun.
Sure. Anything you say, bud.
Get the guns, Manson.
Yeah. I got them, bud.
What are you going to do with me?
You're going up into that stable loft with us. As a hostage, Quillen. Get moving.
Nobody near the jail, Cisco.
No, they are all up the street.
Oh, by the old stable, Cisco.
See? Seem to have the stable surrounded. Pancho, walk back up there and see if you can find out what is going on.
Oh, but Cisco, maybe the hombre shoot at Pancho again.
Put your sombrero down over your eyes. It will not bother you. There's something else in mind at the moment.
Oh, si, Cisco.
I will go into the jail. Sheriff Logan, I cannot believe you are guilty of dereliction of duty or anything of the kind. I'm going to let you out of that cell.
I'd be obliged if you did, Cisco. A little while ago, I didn't care. But now I do.
Are your keys still on this desk?
No, Bud put them in his pocket. You'll have to shoot the lock off.
Very well. Stand to one side, Sheriff. Now we will see. Yeah, that did it.
A man gets hurt, Cisco, and a boy that's like his own goes bad. When that boy tries to bite the hand that's fed and cherished him, that's too much.
Cisco, Bandido's up in the stable loft. If they got the other sheriff as a prisoner...
You mean Jack Quillen?
Oh, Pancho think that may be his name, Sheriff. The one who arrested us.
If you would rather wait here, Sheriff, Pancho and I will see what we can do. We might be able to rescue Quillen.
Why would I wait here, Cisco? Far as I'm concerned now, that stepson of mine is only another bandit. Hand me down my .44s.
Keep away from that open door, Manson. Them hombres down there are just aching to plug us.
I was just trying to see how many of them's down there.
Well, there's enough. And Quillen, don't you get any ideas of jumping out that door. I'd drill you before you hit the ground.
I got no intention of jumping, Bud. But look, what you hombres got against me? Back in the jail, I told the boys to grab Cisco and his partner first, didn't I?
I reckon he did, Bud.
Sure, that was to give you two a chance to get away.
And when you were standing out back of the stable by them weeds, you'd have shot us down in a minute.
No, Bud, honest.
Shut up!
Maybe I can fix it with the boys to let you get away now. How'd that be?
You couldn't fix nothing, you weasel.
But, Bud...
Shut up! Now what are they talking about down there?
I thought I heard one of them mention the sheriff, Bud. I'll take a look through the cracks in this board.
See anything?
It's Sheriff Logan and Cisco and his partner. They're walking up the street this way, Bud.
Oh, maybe the sheriff stayed back last night, but he won't this time. If I know him, he'll come up them stairs, ready to shoot it out.
Yeah, and if he don't, Cisco will. Maybe we better try to come to terms with him, Bud.
Terms nothing. They come up, we'll shoot it out. Because I ain't going to be taken alive.
Going to be easy to get those bandidos down out of the barn loft, Cisco.
It's going to be anything but easy, Pancho.
Is Bud up there, boys? Yeah, better be sure these guns are in working order.
What are you planning to do, Senor Sheriff?
Only one thing, Cisco. If they won't come down, go up after them.
Gee, Pancho, pretty sure you say that, Sheriff, but it's dangerous.
Will you take some well-meant advice?
It depends on what it is.
Regardless of what your stepson has become, it will not be easy to fire on him. So, if you will allow me...
Now, Cisco, that's a mighty generous offer, but I can't allow you to risk your life. It's my job. I'll give you coyotes one chance to come down with your hands in the air.
Sure, we'll be right down.
That's your answer?
That's my answer. Come on up and get us. Don't forget we got Quillen up here. If you come up, he dies too.
Take it easy, Sheriff. Stay down there where you are. They're holding a gun on me.
That's your lookout, you double-crossing weasel.
Oh, Cisco, they kill the sheriff. They kill the Quillen sheriff too, no?
I could just get up to that door in that loft. I have it, that horse.
Oh, what the horse got to do with it, Cisco?
You will see, amigo. Senor, I must get up into that loft. By standing on your horse's back, I can jump and catch the door frame. Will you lead your horse underneath that door?
Sure will, stranger. Climb aboard.
Gracias. All right, now.
Oh, Cisco, you take the big chance. All those bandidos shoot to kill Cisco.
Quieto, Pancho. I'm counting on surprising them. They'll be watching the stairs. Now we will see.
Better not come up any further, Logan. I'll drill you for sure.
Bad. Bad, it's Cisco.
Huh? By thunder, it is.
Drop that gun, bandido.
Drop nothing.
You other hombre. Drop your gun or I will shoot it out of your hand, too.
Thank the Lord you've got here in time, Cisco kid.
If you ain't taking me, I'll jump to the ground and run for it.
Wait, banderos, too far, wait.
Get out of my way down there.
Santos, a dirty somersault. Pancho think he break his neck, no?
So you beat me to it, Cisco.
I had to, Senor Sheriff. Or else at least two lives would have been lost. Your stepson, one called Bud, jumped.
I saw it, Cisco. We'll find out about him. after I get the handcuffs on this polecat.
It was Bud shot them boys at the jail, Sheriff. It wasn't me, I swear.
Shut up, you sidewinder. I'll take him to jail, Sheriff. Let me take him.
You keep your hands off him, Quillen. I'll take that star right off you right now. Now, get out of here fast.
Pancho, what about the bandito down there?
Oh, he dead, Cisco.
You heard, Senor Sheriff?
Yes, I heard. Let's go down, Cisco. You, prisoner, walk ahead of us.
I'm very sorry for you, Sheriff.
Maybe it's for the best. Who can tell? All the boy had to look forward to was his life in prison. I wouldn't want that for him. Boys, could I have a minute alone with him?
I'll watch this prisoner for you, Sheriff. Take all the time you need.
Oh, the sheriff very sad, Cisco. Pancho see the tears in his eyes.
Of course he is sad, Pancho. Any decent man would be. But Sheriff Logan did his duty according to law. No one can do more.
Cisco.
Si, Pancho.
Oh, Cisco. Pancho know that Manson Bandido, he go to the jail.
Si?
But what happened to that to the deputy Quillen?
Oh, he has left this part of the country, amigo.
Oh, he left.
Si. After his cowardice here, he met with nothing but scorn.
Oh, si. And Sheriff Logan, he is still the sheriff, no?
Si, Pancho, he's still the sheriff. He's one of the great sheriffs. And he will probably stay in office until his death.
Oh, see. You know, Sheriff Logan, he know a great many things, I think, Cisco.
Oh, see. For he knows that the more things he learns, the better sheriff he will be.
See, it's a good idea, Cisco. You know, that is why Pancho and Pancho's uncle Jose, we know everything in the whole world.
What? You and your uncle Jose know everything in the world?
Si, going everything in the world.
Oh, but that is impossible, Chico. You could not know everything in the world.
Well, you ask Pancho something.
All right, I will. Where is Hindustan?
Where is who?
Hindustan is not a who, Pancho. It is a what.
Oh, Hindustan.
So you and your Uncle Jose know everything in the world, eh?
Cisco, but...
But what?
That is one of the things Uncle Jose knows.
Oh, Pancho!
Oh, she's gone!
And so ends another exciting adventure with O. Henry's famous Robin Hood of the West, the Cisco Kid.
A big family, a big meal to prepare, and a small budget. That's what you might call the eternal triangle. And there's just one fine way to help you solve it. Just see to it that you serve more...
Tut, tut, nothing but butternut bread.
Yes, serve more good butternut bread. More of it, more often. For example, make a leftover meal taste like something special with the simple addition of several slices of butternut bread. Serve it toasted and maybe sprinkled with cheese or garlic salt. Or serve it toasted under those creamed leftovers. Or in big delicious sandwiches with yesterday's beef roast, sliced just the right thickness. Dozens of ways that butternut can help you build a better budget meal. Yes, if you've a big family and a small budget, remember, serve more butternut bread. Pick up the only loaf in the blue and white check gingham picture wrapper. Good butternut bread. You'll like it. Everybody does.
Be sure to listen again for another thrilling adventure of the Cisco Kid. Cisco Kid was played by Jack Mather, Pancho by Mel Blanc.
That is the Cisco Kid there, and it's interesting because this broadcast from 1958, we were talking about this earlier, that these radio shows were going away and TV was taking over, but the people that were employed in radio at the time were still trying to cling on to as many of these radio shows, and the announcer on that show, I believe, was Gerald Moore, and Gerald Moore was Philip Marlowe on radio. So here he went from, you know, one of the biggest shows on radio, the star of The Adventures of Philip Marlowe, and he's just, like, announcing on this show here of the Cisco Kid. You know, there was probably a lot of people still wanting to do the radio work.
A lot less jobs available.
A lot less jobs.
Because there's so many
exactly.
less radio shows. And it sounded like we were at the circus there. I don't know.
Yeah. We were at the circus?
It sounded like it. The music.
Oh, the music.
The music.
Yeah. That's the Cisco Kid music. That's the Sheriff's 44, Jack Mather and Mel Blanc. Let's take a quick break. Then it's more on the WGN Radio Theater. Do you need readers, Lisa? I do.
I do not.
Wow, you're lucky.
No, you know what it is? I can see up close perfectly. It's far away that's
so
difficult.
You're nearsighted.
Yeah.
Which is
the opposite of you.
No, no. I'm nearsighted also.
And farsighted.
No, I'm nearsighted. But I had LASIK.
LASIK.
LASIK. LASIK. Is that what I said? LASIK.
Would you go to France to have
Yeah, LASIK. LASIK. LASIK.
You know what? I didn't know that.
I had LASIK. Yeah.
You did? You had surgery on your eyeballs?
Actually,
on your cornea?
Let me, this is I'm being completely truthful here, Roger. All
okay.
right?
Yeah.
He's looking at the screen when he talks to me.
I should be a spokesperson
you should.
For LASIK.
Yeah.
Really.
You can say it.
Really
now that
truly.
You can say it correctly, yeah, you right. could gear up
LASIK.
For the job.
LASIK. I actually, if and I'm not trying. I'm
if,
not trying to get
LASIK
a job out of this.
People are out there listening.
I'm not trying to. I didn't plan this or anything like that. But I am such a satisfied customer of LASIK.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I yeah. had it. I don't know, 15 years ago.
Yeah.
Oh, a long time.
And I still don't have to wear glasses.
You know
it.
What? On that same note. You know what? I'm a very satisfied customer out if somebody's listening, and this is true. As long as
you
we're
guys
doing
are
this.
Shilling like crazy.
Invisalign. No, this
Invisalign?
Is true. Invisalign. Do you remember yeah. when I had it? That was
oh,
a long time ago.
Is that
ago.
For your teeth?
Yeah.
Yeah.
They
okay.
don't
no,
get perfect
it's for
nothing.
It's for your brain.
It lines up my brain cells.
There's two brains.
You know, well,
yeah,
look,
so
it's
got,
true.
We've got
you
Walter.
Need a gig. She
Walter
needs
is
a,
doing the hearing aid
I
thing.
Know that.
You guys should do
Lisa,
the
teeth.
And you know
this
what?
The
Rose got the Arcadec, right? The,
oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Right? And
yeah.
I've got an...
But let me
I,
tell you something.
Yeah.
I could get into, like, detail. I won't do it now.
Please, no.
But, because we don't have time.
Oh, good.
But let me tell you, that is it is a miracle. LASIK is a miracle.
Really?
My daughter had it.
Roger, this is the truth, okay?
Uh-huh.
You go in there... And I couldn't see a thing. Like they had like the you know the E and the
chart.
Okay,
right.
the chart.
Right.
So I sit down and the doctor says, "What could you read here?" I said, "Well, I could see the E."
That's the
you
first
know,
letter.
And then
yeah,
that's
right.
about it. He said, okay. "All right." So then they make you go down in the chair, like you know you go back, and they do their thing. Boom, 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 boom.
They hold your eyelids open,
and it's no pain at all, zero.
No,
and
I can't
I'm talking
do that.
Zero pain.
I know. I'm
I
sure.
come up. Yeah. And I'm reading the whole chart.
That's amazing.
They take
a
your
miracle.
Cornea off, and
no,
they readjust
they
it, and then they
no.
put it back on.
I know exactly what they do.
My daughter
They don't take
it.
Your cornea off, okay?
I think they do.
Lisa.
They adjust
they try something
me.
Off, and they forgot
they don't
to put
take,
it back.
I'm telling you I need to be a spokesperson for LASIK.
When you get the LASIK representative,
yeah.
send the Invisalign person
because
over to
I
you.
Am, I'm actually like... excited about LASIK.
You are
because
excited.
I'm still can see perfectly. All right.
Except
which
for
button
Roger.
Do I push here?
No one.
I can't I know which button but
you
just
have it memorized like Braille.
Memorized.
You just put your hands
it's
along
like Braille, yeah.
I know.
Back to WGN Radio Theater with Earl Amari and Lisa Wolf.
Thank you very much, Roger and Joanne and Lisa Wolf and Mike Costella and Shante Garth. I'm in a thinking mood.
Oh, good.
I'll think.
It's
I'll
very
think.
Rare.
I'm just going to thank
so
everybody.
Go with it.
Because it's so much fun. It's the most fun I have all week long.
Well, that's because you get to hang out with me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Get to hang out with you. We carpool together.
We do.
And we play the greatest
that's
classic radio shows.
Because you get
shows.
Me to pay for parking every
yeah,
night.
Sure. Lisa leaves the house with zero
okay,
money on
I
her.
I paid
zero.
For it on Spot Hero. I don't need cash. It goes right into my Visa card.
Not a penny. She doesn't leave the house with a penny on her.
But I have a Visa card, and it goes right on there.
All right. We had a listener text in, David Pepper, and he texted in. He said, hey, that Pancho sure sounded like Speedy Gonzalez. Well, that's because the same actor, Mel Blanc, played Speedy Gonzalez.
That was a good ear.
And played Pancho. He played that same character on Jack Benny. There was a C-Psy routine. He'd be like, C-Psy. You know when Jack Benny
guy.
Was talking?
Yep, same voice.
Same actor. He utilized it three different times, three different characters with that same, you know, hey, Pancho, Cisco voice, the way he did that. Only Mel Blanc could do that, though.
Yeah.
He was the greatest. All right. Well, in this hour, it is Let George Do It, a good detective adventure with Bob Bailey. And it is time to play our game, Cat's Pride, Crack the Quote. What's the movie?
The movie is Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid.
Oh, I got
Kid.
This. 100%.
You got this? 1969.
Is it about I Can't Swim?
It is not.
It's not. Oh, okay. All right.
Sorry.
The number to call, 312-981-7200, 312-981-7200. And we'll take caller 5. Call us right now. Play the game. We'll be,
we're going to give away 2 tickets to Avenue Q at Mercury Theater Chicago.
All right. Call now. We'll play the game right after these words.
It's time now for Crack the Quote, brought to you by Cat's Pride.
We have Debbie on the phone this morning to play with us. Hi, Debbie.
Hi, how are you?
You there?
Okay.
Yeah, it's a bit of a bad connection, but I think we've got you on there. Are you ready to play the game?
Yes.
All right, let's do it. Roger, you listening?
Yes,
making
I am.
Sure you're
okay,
with us.
I'm here.
All right, quote number 1. Carl says he's got this.
I
so
got it.
He'll be the lifeline. Yeah. Although, yeah, I don't know. I don't believe him all the time. Number 1. I just love being alone and doing what I do best, Butch.
Nope.
Number 2, Carl. Number 2. I just want people's approval, Butch. Number 3. I just love reading my name in the paper, Butch.
Yeah, I think so.
But you think so what?
Let's ask Debbie.
Debbie, what do you think?
I say it's C.
Number 3, I just love reading my name in the paper, Butch. What do you think, Roger?
Wow. And I've seen it like a million times.
And this is a pretty difficult one.
Yeah. I know they're at the girlfriend's house and they're reading the newspaper.
Tick-tock, tick-tock.
Number 3, I'll go with our guest.
Ah, 3 for me, too.
3? All right, let's hear it.
I just loved reading my name in the paper, Butch.
And there you go.
There we go.
How easy
Roger
that
got
is.
It.
Yeah.
Debbie got it, and I got it.
Terrific. Well, Debbie, you are the one that earns the winner here because you get 2 tickets to Avenue Q. It's at Mercury Theater Chicago. It's a great show. Mercury Theater does great shows. It's a great theater. So I hope that you love it. You can check them out at mercurytheaterchicago.com.
Great. Thank you so much.
You're so welcome. Enjoy the show.
All right. It's time for Let George Do It. This was a really good detective series, Lisa. It came to radio in 1946 and lasted quite a few years, all the way to 1954. It starred Bob Bailey, who's probably best known as Yours Truly, Johnny Dollar. He played George Valentine, a tough guy detective who prioritized his job above all else. And he ran a newspaper ad that said, personal notice, danger's my stock and trade. If the job's too tough for you to handle, you've got a job for me, George Valentine, write full details. And that's exactly what happened. People wrote in. He would take the case, and he'd solve the case, and he'd always get his man or woman,
good.
Whoever was the ne'er-do-well there. And his secretary was the smart and sassy Claire Brooks, also known as Brooksy, played by Virginia Gregg. It was sponsored by Standard Oil. We have an episode for you now called Angel's Grotto from November 13th, 1950. Here's Bob Bailey in part 1 of Let George Do It.
Personal notice, danger's my stock and trade. If the job's too tough for you to handle, you've got a job for me, George Valentine. Write full details. Standard Oil Company of California, on behalf of independent Chevron gas stations and Standard stations throughout the West, invites you to Let George Do It. Angel's Grotto, another adventure of George Valentine.
Dear Mr. Valentine, you are fired. I know that's a clumsy way to put it, but I've been a nurse too many years to learn parlor diplomacy. Besides, you've been here at the Grotto Farmhouse for almost a day now, and you haven't found anything. Not a single thing. Not that you should have. Perhaps I was just hysterical this morning when I called you out here. But now even the police seem to agree, don't they? Mr. Moraga's death last evening was an accident. Yes, an accident. And so much as I appreciate your coming to help, why should you stay on? Sincerely, Emily Flood.
Oh, Miss Flood. Miss Flood.
Yes. Oh, Mr. Valentine.
Oh, here you are. We've been looking all over.
Did you get my note?
Yes, back at the house, but we wanted to...
I don't like it back there. I came
Look,
out
Miss Flood, I was a little surprised. After all, I've barely even had a chance to talk to you since we got here.
You see, there's very little factual evidence of any kind.
Here. Did you check here? There might have been fingerprints on the handrail that might show...
No, we checked all that. Best fingerprint man in the state found nothing to prove anything. Not even on the wheelchair. No sign of a struggle.
He hated that wheelchair. Imagine a man only 45 who usually couldn't sit still for a minute having to spend 6 months in that thing. It was from a sailing accident. The bone wouldn't heal.
Uh-huh.
Most of the nurses were scared to death of him. But he liked me, because I wasn't good looking and I didn't have an eye on his purse. And he had told me about this grotto.
The Angel's Grotto. It's beautiful, isn't it? All that moss and the ferns.
Yes.
And...
I saw it first about the same time yesterday. I just brought him out from the train, and he had to come here first thing, even before supper.
Did you try to find the angel like we did?
Oh, it's just a legend. Indians who used to work at the mission across the ranch. The Angel of Stone, they say. Crossed by the waterfall, I guess.
Yeah. Only it's like all those things, huh? The face in clouds, the mountain shaped like a man's head. You can never really see it.
Angel of Death. He used to come out here and just sit when he was a little boy, you know. Was also... different then, he said. The farm, I mean. Just a place in the woods. And an exciting, scary grotto for boys to tell stories about and dare each other to come close to the edge. They were lovely boys, I guess. Herman hadn't met the bottle and the blondes yet. And that whiny stepbrother who still lives here was just like the real brothers.
And John hadn't taken up sailing or broken hips or even gone out to the city to build his steel mills to become the richest man in the state.
Why?
All been murdered.
Mr. Valentine.
All right, lady, we're sorry. We know you're upset. Anyway, there aren't any facts. But last night at supper, well, those guys aren't boys anymore, are they?
He hated his family. He said this was the last time he'd ever come back.
You want the rest of it? If you're going to fire me, you want my report, why I say murder?
Go on.
Well, you were there, you and he and the boys last night, remember? You were all sitting around the table.
No, I don't want to talk business tonight. I don't want to talk anything. I'm tired. Emily, have you done my unpacking yet?
Well, I thought as soon as supper is over, while you sit outside for a while...
Sure, your nurse will take care of things, John.
Here, have another glass of wine. It's special.
No, I said.
Well, a farm isn't business. I only waited till you came, John, to talk about buying a new tractor instead of running.
Oh, for the love
of... Leave him alone, Jake. He's tired. Can't you hear what
he
said?
Well, I got a setter coming around tonight. Got to get out there and help her with the pups. I only thought if he could spare $1,000 or
so... Leave him alone. Jake, you'll just never understand us businessmen.
Well, farm's a farm. You can't operate
on it. Stop it, both of you, stop it. I came here for a one-day visit, that's all. That day starts tomorrow.
Oh, sure, Johnny, sure, we understand. I don't come out to the old place often myself, but a little reunion is different, huh?
No. I wish I'd stayed in Florida.
Don't blame you. All those classy nurses.
Please, Mr. Moraga.
Well, Johnny, I know the farm isn't very important anymore to you, but all I wanted to say was...
Oh, get out to your barn. Go be a midwife, whatever it is. Now, you nurse, see if you can't give the cook out there a hand with the dishes. I notice Mary's not as speedy as she used to be, Jake.
Stay where you are, Emily. Herman, for your information, I'm sick and tired of the steel business, too.
Huh?
You heard me, Mr. Vice President in charge of gas and wind?
Oh,
yes. Get everybody out. Leave us brothers alone. Have some wine. You don't want to talk business, not old Herman. Herman, the diplomatic sponge. Well, I wrote you I'm going to retire, didn't I? In the prime of life, and why not? And that means for my family, too. I'm here to cut all strings at once. Lazy relative, steel mills, old family homesteads, the works. I'm sick and tired of supporting a worthless bunch.
Please, don't. You're tired. You'll upset yourself. You said everything could wait till tomorrow. Everything you have to say to
him. Yes. All right. I'm sorry, Emily. You two fellas, wheelchair doesn't make a guy like me very friendly, but I mean it. I'm moving to Florida for good. Only... Well, we'll talk tomorrow, huh?
Sure, Johnny, sure. We understand.
No, you don't. You're going to work for a living, Herman. Well, what's the matter with you, Jake?
Huh?
Earn your own tractor. Me? I'm tougher than all of you, I guess. Well, what's the matter? Want to murder me or something? Well, come on, say something.
Want to murder me or something? And then, Miss Flood, you brought John Moraga out in his wheelchair to sit in the evening air, and you went back to do the unpacking and clean up the dishes for Mary, the cook, who was out helping Jake. Brother Herman, he went to his room, so the testimony says, where he drank that wine all by himself. Jake, he came out and smoked a cigarette for a while with the impatient invalid, then went to the barn and was busy for some time delivering a litter of puppies.
Your testimony is very complete, Mr. Valentine.
So what? So, 10 o'clock, you came out to bring Mr. Moraga in for the night, and he was missing. Because around 9 o'clock, according to police reports, the doctors, his wheelchair parked here overlooking the grotto where you left him, had a little bit too close to the edge.
Look out, George! But there wasn't any evidence. You couldn't find anything.
No evidence to show whether the brakes just slipped and the wheelchair rolled over, or whether Mr. Moraga was pushed off the edge. 200 feet down to the rocks.
All those hatreds and everything. Even motives. But everybody's story seemed to check.
Yeah, that's it. Nothing so far can be proved.
Mr. Valentine, you kicked that rock just now to see how I would react.
Maybe.
Well, I think you should understand there won't ever be any evidence. His death was an accident. I believe that now. So get out. Get out. Please, go away.
Johnny couldn't have been too surprised, Mr. Valentine. Said he saw the angel clear as death. Omen, I guess you'd call it. We smoked a cigarette together down there, you know, half hour before his death.
Surprised at what, Jake?
Huh? Well, the brake slipped on his chair, don't you think? You figure he was unconscious when it happened.
We don't even know that. Look, we're leaving. I only asked...
His own fault in one way. Had a fixation on that place, he did. Ought to be the devil's grotto, I always claimed. Or maybe we could blast the marble and make a quarry.
You see me, Mr. Valentine?
Oh, yes, Mr. Moraga. Look, Jake, do you mind?
Sure, Mr. Valentine, sure. Got to see about
my... Mr. Moraga, testimony showed that last night your brother called you vice president
in charge of gas and wind. Yeah. Old Johnny was the only one had any brains or anything.
Are you part owner of the Moraga Steel Mills or just a paid employee?
You mean am I just the boss's brother? Yeah. Yes, if you like.
Uh-huh. And now that he's dead,
Are you leaving, Mr. Valentine? Oh, no, don't get me wrong. Jake and I, we appreciate what you've done. But also, we're tired of everybody looking cross-eyed at the guys who benefit. I should have told that nurse she was being officious to get you up here in the first place.
She was badly upset.
Well, so am I. Johnny was my brother. These little nurses get more conscientious the richer the patient is.
Oh, how dare you!
Mary, listen to me.
What in the name?
I will not, and I won't leave here until
I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to hit you, but you can't talk like that to me.
I'll talk any way I please. I've been here 15 years. I'll call you all the names I
can. Stop it, I said, stop it!
All right, nursey, now cut it out. Cut it out. What'd she do to you, Mary?
What'd she do?
Don't look at me that way!
Hey, easy, please.
Miss Flood. Know what she was up to, Mr. Moraga? She was firing me. Yes, she fired me.
You?
She.
You what? Now, look here, Miss Flood. You've been fighting
me. Take it easy, will you? Here, Emily, you're all right.
But it was the way she looked. The way she... I'm sorry, Mary. I didn't mean...
You see, Mr. Moraga, I happened to overhear this young lady and a policeman talking.
No.
You just found out the nurse is really a wife, eh, Mary?
What's that, George?
Just guessing. But it would explain why she could try to fire you, Mary. Why you laugh at the word miss. Not to mention some things John Moraga said last night. Or why just a nurse should be so curious and hire me and
try... this mousy little front-heeled...
Yes. We were married a week ago in Florida. I did tell the police, Mr. Valentine. I wanted to tell you, but I wanted to wait until... Oh, just because I'm his nurse and he was wealthy. Just because... Stop looking at me like that!
Nobody's looking any way they shouldn't.
I wondered what his big announcement today was going to be. What made that hot-headed sucker want to sell his business, cut us off, go gallivanting off?
Get out of here! Every one of you! This is my house now! Get out!
So you married a week and now he's dead?
Yes! He's dead! He's dead! Don't look that way! Can't you understand? I loved him. And he loved me.
Don't give me that.
Oh, I wish I were dead, too. Leave me alone or I will be. I will be.
Yes. A good act.
Good act, Mr. Moraga? Are you changing your mind? I thought you were so sure your brother's death was an accident.
That's some dramatic music right there, Lisa.
Yeah, we have a lot of people who enjoyed the organ in this.
That is an organ.
I know.
That was probably a... What kind of organ do you think that was? Hammond? Probably a Hammond organ.
I don't know that we could know the type of organ from listening to the sound.
I'm telling you, it's a Hammond organ.
It may be.
I could be wrong.
But you could be wrong.
Chances are I am wrong.
Probably.
That is the first portion of Let George Do It, starring Bob Bailey. From 1950 with Angel's Grotto. We'll get back to that and much more after these words.
Back to WGN Radio Theater with Earl Amari and Lisa Wolf.
That guy sounded like Roger Badish that did the news there.
No, it wasn't.
Mr. Know-It-All.
Yeah.
Mr. Know-It-All.
He does not know it all.
I have been, like, that song...
Is in your
it's
brain.
It's just in my, yeah,
not
brain
I'm
since
sexy,
yesterday.
I'm
the
sexy
and I know it. Well, that song, I wrote that song.
I mean,
so.
That is the epitome of you.
And now we have actual video proof.
Exactly.
Yeah, can we see
on
that?
Your website.
Where is that?
You know, I
website?
Have it. No, I have
I sent it
on.
To...
I have it on my Facebook page.
Yeah,
but
that
you know
was
what
the best I
will
I could
do? I will share it to our WGN Radio Theater page right now.
There you go.
There we go.
Yeah.
Did Joanne see that? Joanne, did you see that?
Joe, how would she see it?
Oh, no, she hasn't seen it.
She's not seen it.
I didn't.
You have not seen our jib jab.
It's a music video, yeah.
Oh, fantastic.
Yeah, and I strip, so it's a lot of fun.
Perfect.
Wait, what's the web address?
I knew I liked you.
Hold on here. Right, Lisa stripping. Is that what you Google?
That's it.
Google Lisa stripping.
Oh, you'll see me, all right.
All right. Apparently so.
Yeah, Lisa is...
Love to just take off the clothes.
She just takes it all off in that video. So check it out. Jib jab.
I'm going to... No, they can't check it out until I post it. I'll do this.
Yeah. I thought it was posted already.
It is on my personal Facebook page.
Yeah.
But I will post it to our W. It's
please
very confusing.
Do. Are you going
to
do it right now?
Yes, I am.
All right, listeners, give Lisa about 3-4 minutes.
Oh, no, I can do it in 30
and seconds.
And
she'll post it. All right, but right now it's the conclusion to Let George Do It.
In just a moment, we will return to tonight's adventure of George Valentine. Tonight, we present another first-hand report on new RPM motor oil, the oil that doubles engine life between major overhauls due to lubrication. Tonight, you'll go with our scientists test by test as they explore the chemistry of motor oils with a new atomic tool in search of the formula for new RPM. By special transcription now, we take you to the Richmond Laboratories of California Research Corporation. The next voice you hear will be Senior Research Engineer H.F. Galindo.
The test engines you hear running in the background are equipped with piston rings, which we had specially treated at the Oak Ridge plant of the Atomic Energy Commission. Geiger counters connected to these engines measure the fine particles of treated metal worn from the atomic ring as that wear takes place. We're using rigid temperature controls to get exact simulation of the toughest engine wear conditions your car gets. The normal, everyday short hops. The stop-and-go traffic driving. We call it cold operation. Two of my colleagues, Harold Vick, engine operator, and Jess Sanders, lead engine mechanic, have filled the crankcase of each of our test engines with a different experimental motor oil formula. These experimental oils, by the way, are a few of the hundreds actually used during nearly 2 years of development. Now let's listen to the Geiger counters as they click off the performance of one of our earlier formulas compared with a recent one. Bear in mind that the slower the counter clicks, the less the wear that is taking place. No, that's too fast. Too much wear. That formula couldn't do the job. Now listen to this. It slowed way down. Yes, that's it. Here, the very slow, measured clicking of the Geiger counter. That oil formula hit an all-time low count on wear rate. It's the one which eventually proved to be the best. The one which, after lots of road testing, we finally released as the new RPM.
The new RPM, an oil so superior that it doubles engine life between major overhauls due to lubrication. It's yours today at independent Chevron gas stations and standard stations where they say and mean we take better care of your car. And now, back to tonight's adventure of George Valentine. Angel's Grotto, a place of great beauty, a place where a man fell 200 feet to his death on the rocks below. A man in a wheelchair, sitting alone in the moonlight. But, according to the police, that death was an accident. There's no further reason for you to stay around. Still, if your name is George Valentine, well, what can you do except stall for time? Pretend you can't start your car.
Say, look, Jake, is there some rope around here? I may need it when the mechanic comes to give me a tow.
Yeah, in the shed over there. Help yourself.
Okay, thanks.
Get out of the way. Good idea. So that fool Emily won't hang herself. Ha! There's a good one.
Come on, Brooksy. Let the rest of them think we've gone. You realize how short our time is?
You mean what he just said about Emily? George, I want to go back in and talk to
her. No, Brooksy, we got to find evidence before somebody else gets murdered. Yeah, these are the tracks, all right, Brooksy. And here's where the wheelchair stood.
George, you and the police went over it inch by inch.
Well, Jake gave me an idea. He was wondering earlier if John Moraga was conscious when he fell, remember?
Yes.
Okay, now look, I'm John Moraga. I'm in a wheelchair, see, and I'm sitting here. I'm a strong guy.
Strong? George, John had been laid up for 6 months.
Well, that's not long enough to break down a dynamo like him. The point is, when he was sitting here, it would have been pretty hard to take him by surprise.
You mean somebody slugged him first?
I don't know. There's no sign of a struggle. Police thought he might have fallen asleep.
George, suppose he'd been drowned.
Huh?
I mean, remember that wine last night at...
Oh, yeah, I thought of that. But it's like everything else. Nothing left to show. Nothing left but the tracks of the two wheels here. And hey, Brooksy, look. They just go in practically a dead straight line all the way out to the edge and over. Okay, Brooksy, throw me that rope there.
Oh, George.
It's all right now. It's all right. This tree will hold me.
George.
Just take it easy, will you? There we are. This is one thing we didn't check.
But they combed every rock down below there.
When I kicked that rock loose this afternoon, remember what happened? It bounced. Okay, I'll find out what happened last night, and I won't bounce either. I hope. Hey, Brooksy. I can see the angel from down here. Yeah, it really does look like one, you know. Across by the...
George, your rope's twisted.
I'm all right. There's some stuff to hang on to here. Angel of death, huh?
I can't even see you anymore.
Brooksy!
What'd you say, George?
Hey, not so loud, will you? I was just looking down before. It's a watch.
What?
No. Piece of watch chain. Sure. He did hit here before he dropped to the rocks. I thought so. The way the cliff curves out, it's...
Don't go any farther. What if he did lose part of his watch chain? It doesn't tell you anything.
Oh, doesn't it? Hooked on a little twig, some scrub trees here growing in a crevice. Well, you know, it doesn't have any bark. Yeah, that's right. Two places here, no bark. I'll tell better in the daylight. But, Brooksy, there are kick marks, too. He grabbed here as he fell. Must have hung on for some time, several minutes maybe, before his strength gave out.
Somebody's coming, George.
Mayday. Hey, I called you, but I didn't hear you answer.
Well, I went to see George. Listen.
Listen what?
It's gone now.
Okay, come on. Get this rope out of sight. Here, duck back here.
Yeah.
In the bushes. Yeah, that's better.
George, I hate high places. You crazy.
But I learned something, Brooksy. The fact he clung there proves John Moraga was conscious. He couldn't have grabbed on there unless he was perfectly all right when he went over.
He wasn't slugged, doped, anything.
Just pushed.
But those straight line tracks...
Well, I can think of a person he might have trusted. Never guess what was going to happen until the last minute.
Oh, George, any of them could have come down here without being seen. His shouts when he was hanging there wouldn't have been heard.
Oh, Brooksy, look, stop evading it. You know who I'm talking about. All those tears don't hide her motive.
George, I just can't believe that a girl would...
Yeah. You see what I see? Little Emily.
George, she's crying. That's what I heard before.
Yeah, walking like she didn't know where she was.
George, she wished she were dead, too. She was hysterical, but she said
I'm like Jake. I didn't take it seriously.
But she's going where we were. George, grab her.
No,
she's
going to... stop.
Emily?
Oh, you stunned me.
Oh? I didn't mean to.
It's Herman.
Beautiful night, isn't it?
Mr. Moraga.
What are you doing down here, anyway?
You know, don't you? Why do you ask?
Well, I didn't believe a good-looking girl like you with her head on her shoulders would seriously think of carrying out a threat
you
like...
You think I'm ugly. You said so. A stupid, flat-heeled nurse.
Oh, well, really, it isn't anything...
No, stay where you are. I don't think there's room for both of us here, Mr. Moraga.
All right.
I loved your brother. I loved John. I'm 35. I'm not pretty. I know what I am. But he loved me, too.
Now.
Please don't touch me. Don't come any closer.
Oh, it's all right. I know how you feel. It was an accident.
Leave me alone.
Yeah, just an accident. That's all.
I told you. Don't touch me.
Well.
You big bastard!
You walked right into it, didn't you?
Look out, my arm.
I've handled patients 10 times as tough as you are.
My arm. Look out, the engine.
Believe right. What I said, didn't you? Believe I'd come down here and be thinking of jumping when it's you who's going
look
to go.
Look out.
Come on, Dusty, step on it. He's the one who's liable to be killed.
I'll see you. I'll see you.
Get back here, I said. Get back.
Let go of me.
Okay, sister. All right, all right. Oh. Take it easy, all of you.
Lord, what's the matter with
her? She's all right, George. Let go. Leave me alone.
She would have killed me. She was trying to push me.
I know, I know. We saw
it. We thought it was going to be the other way around.
Oh?
It never occurred to me. She has the same motive for getting rid of you, Mr. Moraga. You're the only real brother. You're in her way, too.
Herman, for the love of Pete, what the place is a little fool?
I thought that she was...
Shove me. Was she trying?
Will you please stop it? Yeah. Yeah, that's right. We prevented a murder. Now I can prove it. Murder number 2.
Hey, did you find out something?
Mr. Valentine!
Lady, will you stop crying for 1 minute, please? I didn't say you killed your husband. You didn't kill John Moraga.
George.
Emily, the tragedy we prevented tonight was you killing for vengeance because you thought the murder would never be solved.
Herman did it. I was sure.
The police couldn't find any clues for you, but you were like I was. You knew it had to be murder, and so you tricked Herman into following you down here. The only trouble was when you tried to take the law in your own hands, you picked the wrong person.
What?
Yeah, that's right. He didn't do it. He's demonstrated that pretty well right now, hasn't he? Only, what's your name, Cook? Mary?
Oh.
Did you ever see the angel?
Did I? What?
Come on, the angel on the rocks. You've lived around here 15 years, you said. You've heard the legend.
Oh, that. No, I don't know what you're talking about.
There's no angel in the rocks, Valentine. That's
Yes, there is. Because I saw it. And John Moraga said he saw it, too.
Oh, no. No, he
after
didn't.
You left him down here, Emily, he supposedly said it while smoking a cigarette. With you, Jake.
Now, wait a minute. I never said
it. Oh, yes, you did.
I remember it, George.
And that was your mistake. Because, Buster, that angel turns out to be a real angel of death. You can't see that rock formation from any place except halfway down a straight cliff. No wonder the Indians had a legend. So when could John possibly have seen it except when he was climbing down there after he'd been shoved, clinging there, hanging there? Why did John scream out that he saw the angel? Was he pleading with you to help him? And did you just stand there and laugh at him, Jake?
No, you're crazy. Me, I'm just a farmer.
Sure, you're a big, strong guy. And that's why the tracks of the wheelchair were nice and straight, Brooksy. A man strong enough could just tip it back, load and all, and give it a roll.
Now, you listen to me. I was up with that setter of mine. I was clean out in the barn. Mary, help me.
Mary, do you know what the penalty is for providing a false alibi in a murder case?
No, I don't even know what you're talking
about. You'd better tell me fast, lady, how many of those puppies you delivered.
Mr. Valentine.
How much of that 2 hours Jake really spent with you in that barn?
Oh.
Hey, get her, she's running.
No, we'll get her all right.
I don't believe anything, that dumb old thing.
That's all, Jake.
Angel's Grotto. And the angel really did solve it.
Well, Brooksy, the weak-kneed accomplice didn't help Jake much.
But Mary wasn't really mixed up in
it. But she started the ball rolling. Nothing else he could do but confess after that. I suppose she wanted to keep the farm as much as he did. And Moraga was going to take it away, sell everything.
Mm-hmm. And to think it all started with our being fired. Emily tried to do it the right way, George. She hired you to find evidence of what she thought had happened.
Yeah, by woman's intuition. So, just on the basis of that, she tries to play angel of destruction, of vengeance.
It was crazy and wrong. But she loved John Moraga. Those tears were all true.
Hmm.
She told us how much she loved him. First and only love of her life. I could tell. And he loved her just as much.
I know. Love. Hey, how come you're such an authority on the subject, Brooksy?
With you around, I'll be darned if I know.
Tonight, you heard firsthand how new RPM motor oil was developed years ahead of its time. Only the new atomic research tools of our scientists could make possible this remarkable motor oil progress. Here's what it means to you. Compared with the best of conventional premium-type oils, as designated by the American Petroleum Institute, new RPM cuts in half the wear rate of critical engine parts, doubles engine life between major overhauls due to lubrication. It maintains the low oil consumption mileage of average engines twice as long, and it doubles protection against acid, corrosion, gummy carbon, and varnish. Stop in for new RPM, sold with a money-back guarantee of satisfaction at standard stations and independent Chevron gas stations, where they say and mean, we take better care of your car. Tonight's adventure of George Valentine has been brought to you by Standard Oil Company of California on behalf of independent Chevron gas stations and Standard stations throughout the West. Robert Bailey is starred as George with Virginia Gregg as Brooksy. Let George Do It is written by David Victor and Jackson Gillis and directed by Don Clark. Jeanette Nolan was heard as Emily, Larry Dobkin as Herman, Bob Griffin as Jake, Bill Boucher as John, and Noreen Gamil as Mary. The music is composed and presented by Eddie Dunstetter, your announcer, John Heaston. Listen again next week, same time, same station, to Let George Do It. This is the Mutual Don Lee Broadcasting System.
There you have Let George Do It, November 13th, 1950, with Angel's Grotto, starring Bob Bailey, also in that cast, Virginia Gregg. Virginia Gregg was the voice of Norman Bates' mom, Norma Bates, on the Psycho movie, the original movie with, you know, Alfred Hitchcock directed the movie. I think it's 1960s, late 50s, early 60s. Yeah. She would be like, Norman! That was Virginia Gregg. She did so many radio shows back in the Golden Age, and then she continued to do voice work and, television work as well. So there you have it. I hope you enjoyed Let George...